Well, good evening. God bless you. Somehow, by God's mercy and grace, we've made it all the way to Friday night of this year's family camp. Man, it's gone by quickly, hasn't it? But each day has been just packed with God's word and God's love and wonderful fellowship. I've told people often that I just don't know anything better than family camp. We do a lot of great things. I don't know that event personally yet, but I'm getting there. But how wonderful a week we've had, just filled with God's love, filled with God's word, filled with answered prayers. Gosh, well, most of you are up at the potholes this afternoon. The camp manager that we've worked with for 18 years, Dave and Charlotte Boatwright, stopped up to see us, and that blessed me a lot. They're wonderful friends, but they had a challenge because they're older. They had to leave this place. They had to go find a new job and new circumstances. But Charlotte shared with me that it was hard for her to want to leave, as you can imagine, after being here for 18 years. But somebody told her about a house. And when she heard about the house, she said God told her that she needs to move to go get that house. Get up and go. And she got up and went. And when she saw the house, she said, she walked through and she just knew there was a peace there, that it was her house, that it was her place, that God had provided. And so in my mind, I'm filled with what we've been learning this week. I'm thinking, you know, that's revelation. You know, God providing their need. Dave and Charlotte, I don't even know if they know the words word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But God works in them. God works in each of us. The great lesson of God's word is that he is our God and that he loves us. He desires our best and he provides for us so completely. He just always desires good for each and every one of us. And God works. I was thinking, seeing Marie, you sat on the, sat the front row, I think, every teaching session. And earlier this spring, as we were sending out notification about family camp, and then you all would receive information about our theme for family camp, Marie emailed me back and said that she had just prayed before to God that she could learn about the manifestations. And then she gets my letter, the camp theme is the manifestations. How is that? They live 6,000 miles the other side of the ocean. How is that? God works. God works in us. Now, how he works and all that he does, it's going to take eternity to really see and enjoy and appreciate. But boy, God works. God works in magnificent ways. There was a time right a couple weeks before family camp, Lily McKay and her mom, Lynn, who's so admirably coordinated the children's camp, they were in Australia, New Zealand for a couple weeks. So Lynn and I worked a lot before they left because she knew she had to get most of her work done before going on this trip. But in the time that they were gone, we got some additional registrations, and some of the additional registrations were more young people. And all of a sudden, we're looking at our camp staff and we're realizing that maybe we're a little understaffed. And then when first chance I got, I called Lynn and we talked and she said, yes, we are understaffed. So we had a need. I go out and I'm running an errand. I come back and there's a message Carol gives me, call a believer. And the believer just wanted to come to family camp. Didn't really have the money to come to family camp, but had the time. She had served before doing children in children's fellowship. And she really wanted to come. I said, you know, hey, have you ever thought, Rita Bakken? I said, Rita, you know, what about, you know, maybe you coming and helping us? This is when, within an hour of my conversation with your mom. I said, what about you? She said, oh, I'd love to. She said, I'd love to. I didn't think you needed me. I said, oh, yes, we do. God works. He works to answer our prayers. He works in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. He directs our step, and as we walk, God works. He gets us to the right place at the right time. He provides our need. There's a record in the Old Testament of Isaac being led up with his dad, and Abraham's about ready to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. You probably are familiar with the record in Genesis 22. And lo and behold, you know, these plans are interrupted. And they're right in the midst of, you know, this slaying about to occur. God provides a substitute. God provides, you know, a ram stuck in a thicket. And then God reveals himself by one of his names, one of his redemptive names, Jehovah Jireh, is in that, which in Hebrew means the Lord sees and he provides. It's a great thing to remember. The Lord sees and he provides. As I was talking to Rita, I start thinking, you know, the Lord has seen my need and is providing. You know, we have this little thing that in our fellowship we say, you know, hark, there's a ram stuck in the thicket. Because God works. God has provided. You know, it's wonderful to see God work. In fact, I don't know of anything better in life than to see our Heavenly Father work. There's a lot of wonderful things we get to enjoy, but the greatest, that brings the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, is to see our God work. And boy, I tell you, our God has worked this week. He's worked to bring us together to this camp. We've come from near and far, and, you know, it's quite a diverse group of people here. We have, you know, I think we demonstrated that wonderfully at family night last night, just seeing all the diverse talents and all the different musical instruments played and all the different things that people provided. It was just joyous because we're one big family. God has brought us from so many different backgrounds and so many different ages. You know, throughout this week, I have not heard, you know, barely a negative. I haven't heard people bitching and moaning about stuff. You know what I've heard is people joying and rejoicing about the goodness of our God. And God has brought us, you know, people that, you know, perhaps have very little interest other than God and his word. And then as we share that, we are just brought together as one because we're one body. God works. You know, it was almost a week ago that we opened our camp here in this particular location, and we opened in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I think that'd be appropriate for us to open there tonight. Because our theme through the week is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And those words sure mean a lot more to me after working through this material, and I trust that they do to you this night. That the manifestation is given to every one of us. It's not just given to one man or just to a few, but it's given to every one of us to be profited entirely or altogether. And then here, in three verses of Scripture, are listed these nine manifestations that we've been looking at all week. And it gives particular emphasis to the profit of the manifestations. 4:1, referring to the profit, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another prophet, believing, the manifestation of believing by the same Spirit. To another prophet, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another prophet, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. We have been learning all week about these nine different evidences, nine different manifestations of Holy Spirit. And we've been seeing what they're good for, what the profit of them are. Speaking in tongues has tremendous profit to our life because speaking in tongues is the means by which we worship God. We can praise him. We can magnify him. We can speak his wonderful works. Speaking in tongues is the proof of the new birth. You know, how huge is that to know that you're born again, that no matter what, we're going to heaven, that all hell can't stop us from going. Speaking in tongues gives us the means by which we can pray to God perfectly via the Spirit. And speaking in tongues is that wonderful manifestation that builds us up on the inside so that we get big and strong spiritually. And then we've learned about interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And boy, how terrific is it when we get together that we get to hear from God. Words of comfort, words of encouragement, words that build us up. And boy, we so need that to be built up, to be comforted and encouraged. We spent considerable time learning about word of knowledge and word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, so that we don't have to be ignorant, so that we can know the score. God informing us information that is truly profitable, things to know, things to do, what to do with that information, word of wisdom, and also about the presence or non-presence of spirits and how to deal with them. What wonderful profit comes from these manifestations. And we've spent the last 2 days looking at the impartation manifestations, the manifestation of believing that really puts the oomph so that God can work in our life and produce miracles and gifts of healing. How wonderful it is that we have these nine manifestations. What a field ripe for growth. I believe in so many ways we're all just in the infancy of believing, of learning about these things. But boy, this week has been a week of progress. We can say that which God wills in verse 1, when he says, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning these spiritual matters," that we've made great headway in overcoming that ignorance. God has provided his wonderful word, and it doesn't take a PhD to understand God's word. It's given to all of us to understand. This is the rule book. This is the instruction book for Holy Spirit, so that we can read it and we can understand how to do it, how to carry it out. I love, you know, sometimes people that got the PhDs and all that stuff, it just gets in the way of them understanding God's word. You know, they get so full of themselves and their learning that they don't come meekly to God and let God explain it to us. But then it goes on to say here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, "But all these nine manifestations worketh or are energized by the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man," and there again, "to every one of us, severally, as he," the man, "wills." Now, this is really where we're at. We have made great strides in gaining useful information about the nine manifestations. Now we're at a point of willing to do it, of providing the will, of desiring to do it. There will be multiple, wonderful, continual opportunities to operate these nine manifestations. But you have to supply the will. You have to want to do it. You have to desire to do it. You have to desire to grow in your knowledge and application of receiving revelation. Remember, as we look through that, there's some real simple truths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. You know, to practice the presence of God, to be constantly aware of him, so that when he speaks to you, when he gives you information, that you recognize it, that you receive it. And then certainly when God directs us by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, there has to be the will to carry it out, to do what he says to do. And when we do those wonderful impartation manifestations of believing, miracles, and healings are brought to pass in our life. This section goes on to describe the church, the body of Christ, and how we are all to work together in it. Verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." See, this section is comparing the human body to the church. How many different members are there in the human body? I don't know. There's a lot of them. I imagine, you know, if you just would take the obvious outward ones, there's scores when you talk about fingers and hands and arms and shoulders and all the different aspects. And then you get into the internals and it's just a whole new world. Okay? But yet, you know, all these different parts, and yet you're one person. You know, you're just one person. They all work together. This is the comparison that God makes to the church. I love it. Because God is comparing the spiritual church of God, the body of Christ, the church, to the human body, which is something that we're all so very well familiar with. You know, from the time you're a baby, you learn about your body. It's one of the first things you learn about, isn't it? You know, if you're a mom, what do you teach your kid? You know, where's your nose? You know, right? Oh, where's your ears? You know, right? And the kid learns it. You know, head and shoulders, knees and toes. You learn about your body. Well, it's God is teaching us about the great spiritual church of God with something that every human being is intimately acquainted with, the human body. Do you see how simple, how clear that is? And then it goes on to say, for verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. See, we're not all to do the same thing. You know, I get the privilege tonight, and Bruce and Dan throughout the week with me, of teaching. Could you imagine if we were all came to camp and we were all expecting to teach? But throughout camp, there have been so many different functions that different people have done. We've had our hour of power group, to which every one of you have contributed wonderfully. We've had Hillside Sing. We recognized earlier, you know, some of the people that contributed to Hillside's, all different activities. We've had people behind the scenes like Tommy and Warren that have been setting up and working well into the night and early in the morning to see that everything's running smoothly. You know, all different parts of the body making contribution. And you know what? Because of that, we've been unified this week. There hasn't been all the division. There hasn't been strife. We've been one. That's how God designed it. I'd like to say we've seen a demonstration of the mystery. It goes on to say, if the foot, verse 15, shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, could you imagine if your foot wanted to do what the hand gets to do? Well, golly, have you ever tried to pick up anything with your feet? It's not easy. Yeah, brush your teeth with your feet. That's a good one. Yeah, that's terrific. Hey, hands are good for holding. Feet are good for walking. If the ear, verse 16, shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, it must have been the church of Corinth that some people didn't get to do what they thought they were supposed to get to do, so they said, well, forget it, I'm not going to be a part of this thing. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? God, I've thought of this often. I just imagine somebody showing up at our door for fellowship, and it's just a big eye. You know, you wonder, how did you get to my porch? I mean, it says, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them. And there again, that phrase, every one of us, God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. You know who has worked to bring us into the body of Christ? God. You know who has worked to set us in particular places or functions to make us members in the body of Christ? God. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what your best contribution can be. He knows what you are best at doing. He has made you to be that particular member in the body of Christ. God hath set the members in the body as it's pleased him. You know, something that we all share is that we all are members in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the greatest organization in the history of the universe. There's nothing greater than what God has done in the calling of the one body. And you and I get to be a part of it. How privileged are we? There's a wonderful section back in the book of Romans that 1 Corinthians 12 is very closely related to. Look at Romans chapter 12. Remember that the book of Romans is primarily doctrine in nature, and that Corinthians is reproof. So the two are very intertwined, Corinthians reproof for failure to adhere to the doctrine of Romans. But in Romans chapter 12, it says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body," hey, that's what we were just reading about, right? 1 Corinthians 12. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Well, of course we don't have the same office. How could we all work with one computer and one telephone and one little cubicle? No. Oh, there's groanings coming. We've done a lot of groaning this week, too, by the way. No, all members have not the same office. Well, how's the word office used in our day? But the word office means function. See, isn't that what we saw in 1 Corinthians 12? You know, there are feet, there are hands, there's noses, there's ears, all part of one body. And all the different members have different functions. That's what this says. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." We're interrelated. Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy..." Let us prophesy according to the proportion of believing. So here in Romans chapter 12, the different functions that each one of us provide in the body of Christ are called gifts. And they are. The first gift that is mentioned here is the gift of prophecy. Now, some of you might have bristled at that phrase, the gift of prophecy, because we have understood all week that prophecy is a what? Manifestation. And it is. Every one of us have the Spirit of God born within us, and every one of us can operate 9 manifestations. We have seen that clearly over and over and over again. But this is talking about your function within the body of Christ. And we don't all have the same function. The word function can be understood as the word long suit. You know, a function is something that you're good at. Like I said, feet are good for walking, hands are good for holding, ears are good for hearing. You know, a nose isn't so good for picking things up with. Right? It's good for smelling. This is talking about different functions in the body of Christ, and we don't all have the same function. We don't all have the same long suit. Can we all prophesy? Yes. But there's some people that's their real long suit. I know some people that when they prophesy, it just knocks your socks off. You know, it just parts your hair. You know, just so blesses you. Because they're so good, it's their long suit. It's what they're really good at. What we're going to see listed here in these next few verses is a sampling of these functions, a sampling of these long suits, a sampling of what God calls gifts. Now, there's one gift given to all of us, Holy Spirit. But as you function in the body of Christ, carrying out your long suit, your life becomes a gift to the church. And boy, how terrific is that? Your life, as you function according to your God-given abilities, as you function in your long suit, your life is a gift to the rest of us. And boy, we need what each other can provide. Here it says, "Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of believing." Certainly, to operate your long suit, to participate in the body of Christ, functioning as a functioning member, it's according to believing. You got to believe. I mentioned that these that we'll read are a sampling of different abilities. Prophecy here represents the nine manifestations. It could say, just as wonderfully, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether wisdom. Apply that wisdom according to the proportion of believing. Or gifts of healing. Get out and heal according to proportion of believing. Because there's nine manifestations. Some people have a real long suit in prophecy. Other people have a real long suit in word of wisdom. You know, those are the kind of people you want to get advice from. You know, very, very helpful. Some people have long suits in gifts of healing. Hey, can we all operate gifts of healing? We've been seeing that all week. Some people, that's their function in the body of Christ. Those are the people I like to call up on the telephone when I need ministering to. See, not that all of us couldn't minister to each other, but boy, some people have that real function in the body of Christ. And we could say that about all of the nine manifestations. This is talking about long suits. In fact, verse 6, having then gifts differing, certainly that word differing fits in the context, but it's interesting because it's used in other places with the meaning of excelling. Which one is appropriate here? I don't know. I believe both. Because it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given us, or having then gifts excelling according to the grace that is given to us. In other words, the prophecy listed here is when it's something you really excel at. And then it goes on, verse 7, or ministry. Are you everybody reading in King James? Most of us are, I'm sure. It says, let us wait on our ministering. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, does God want us to just put it in park and wait? No. You notice that a lot of those words are in italics. The simplicity of what this says is we're ministry in ministering. One translation says, hey, if you got a ministry, get busy ministering. That's it. Use it. You know, if you're really good at prophecy, what does God want you to do? Prophesy. If you're really good at healing, what does God want you to do? Go out and heal people. See, that's what this is talking about. See, use your ability. And then it says, or he that teaches in teaching. See, if someone has a long suit in teaching, God wants that person to teach. Get busy teaching. You know, can we all teach? Yes, and we should all teach. But there's some people that are really good at teaching. It's their function in the body of Christ. By the way, this word teaching represents the five ministries that are mentioned in Ephesians, of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This could say, or he that pastors in pastoring. There's some people that are really good at shepherding God's people. There's other people that are really good at evangelizing. God wants them to go out and evangelize. You understand? And verse 8, or he that encourages, exhorteth in exhortation. He that gives, you know, do it with simplicity. Now, again, let me ask you, are we to all to operate giving and receiving? Yes. There's some people that it's a real long suit. Those of you that have been around long enough to have known Dr. Rule and his brother, Uncle Harry, will recognize Uncle Harry's great long suit is that of giving. He was a very wealthy, very prosperous businessman who oftentimes in a year's time would make $1 million, and that was back when $1 million was $1 million. And at the end of the year, he'd take his whole checkbook and clear it out and give it all away. Give it to his brother so his brother could keep teaching God's word. Give it to God for prosperity of the ministry. But he just was a wonderful example of somebody with a long suit in giving and receiving. You know, Carol and I, a few years back, had a wonderful couple that were part of our fellowship. They're no longer in California, but when they came to our, they just were giving all the time. They were just wonderful giving souls. It was just, you know, we were all blessed because of their giving. They were so blessed because of their giving. They're just real liberal. It's just a wonderful long suit that they practiced. It says, he that rules with diligence, you know, someone with abilities in terms of leadership in the church or rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with what? Cheerfulness. You know, this section of Scripture, when it's honestly handled, expands very much the horizons of what gifts are in the church. There's a tremendous variety of activities or a variety of functions that are listed here, things that people normally wouldn't think of being gifts. But God calls them a gift, and if he calls them a gift, then we should. They're long suits, they're functions, they're things that you excel at, and they also vary. God hath set the members in the body as it has what? Pleased him. And the key, okay, I've been asked, how do I know what my long suit is? Well, what God says here is whatever it is, use it. See? So, you know, how I think of it, God always will give you at least one thing to do. You know, if you stop and think, okay, you know, morning, Lord, what would you have me to do today? You know, there will always be something, you know, to do. And you know what you do? You do it. You take a step, you start doing it. And then as you start doing it, there will be something else to do. And you find you're starting to walk. And as you walk, you start to see over a period of time, hey, you know, this over here, this is really fun to do, but I'm not as good at it as this over here. God is really working in my life. You know, as I give or as I teach or as I pastor, as I witness or as I pray. Boy, that's a great one when it comes to long suit. How about a long suit in prayer? You can read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 about Annas. She was, I think, 110 years old or something, very old. Said that she served God in prayer night and day. Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, laboring fervently for the believers at Colossae so that they would stand perfect and complete in the will of God. He was cited as an example of prayer. That was his long suit. See, every one of us have it. And we simply walk believingly upon the word, and God works in us. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Some of these long suits that God calls gifts are mentioned in Ephesians 4. It has been taught or understood that these are the only gift, so-called gift ministries that there are in the body of Christ. If that's the case, then how do you handle Romans chapter 12? You don't. The terminology, by the way, gift ministry, literally doesn't occur in the Bible. But here it says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles. Praise God for apostles. And he gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And these are referred to as gifts in verse 8. But it's funny because that word gifts is a different Greek word than the word gifts that we read in Romans chapter 12. And that might be a fruitful field of study if you're so inclined. But these are wonderful ministries, they're wonderful functions in the body of Christ for a great reason, because in verse 12, it says that they're given for the perfecting of who? The saints. And who's the saints? All of us. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means full equipping. See, for the full equipping of the saints. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers help equip the saints. What it's for. But then it goes on to say, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I used to read this, that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are given for three reasons. First, the perfecting of the saints. Secondly, the work of the ministry. And thirdly, the edifying of the body of Christ. That's not what this verse says. It literally says, for the perfecting of the saints, the full equipping of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. That's it. know what this tells you is that every saint, and that's each one of us, every one of us have a ministry. See, every one of us have a ministry. And the word ministry, it just means service. That's what it means. It's our service in the body of Christ, our function, what we're to do, what we're to help provide. He's given the full equipping of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. You know what? There's work to do. You know, it's joyous work. It's good work. It's the work with our Heavenly Father. God works. He works in us. And God works in us so that we can carry out His works, that we can carry out His will. The full equipping of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. And when we do the work of the ministry, what will be the result is the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. What great truth that is. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which will only occur completely at the return of Jesus Christ. And it's that we henceforth be no more children. You know, that we don't stay babies. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, there are people who lie in wait to deceive God's people. Is that a stunning revelation? You know, try to work through every wind of doctrine. You know, coming up with some new trip, new doctrine, some new thing. You know, every wind of doctrine, I've thought, you know, have you ever noticed it's kind of windy out there? You know, trying to trick God's people. You know, that's why we just got to dig the Word. Just got to stay put on God's Word. You know, our desire in teaching this week, Dan and Bruce and I, was just to lay out God's Word simply and clearly. Just what does the Word say? You know, we didn't attempt to come up with and bring in a lot of other information. You know, there's certainly things that people have, you know, devised or have, you know, I'm not even sure the right word, but that have, you know, summarized from the Word, and then they will use that as... Oh, what have we done this week? Is we've just simply read the Scripture together and let the Word speak, you know, so that the Word teaches us. But when people get, you know, unknowledgeable of the Word or get off the Word, stay in the baby stages, then people come along and rip you off. God doesn't want that to happen. So it's that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, that we grow up and become more and more Christ-like. From whom, verse 16, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of what? Every part. How does the body work? When every part works within the body. It's according to the effectual working in the measure of what? Every part. Every one of us have a very significant contribution to make. It's not going to be the same, but every one of us have a job to do, so to speak. Every one of us have a part to play because we're all members in particular of the body of Christ. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. Every one of us have a ministry. And all of our ministries are the ministries of God's Word. Now, they're different types, different functions, but it's all the ministry of reconciliation, the Word of reconciliation. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of God's Word and how God works, it says in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of who? God. See, this that we've been dealing with this week, it's not the words of men. Sure, there's been Dan up here speaking God's word. There's been Bruce, or there's been me. There have been others that have been speaking God's word, but it's not Dan's word or Bruce's word or Doug's word. Whose word is it? It's God's word. As it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that do one thing, believe. You know what? God's word works. It works, and it works in us that believes. You know, there's a lot of things I love about God's word. You know, it reveals so many things. It's stimulating. It's great to study. It's so beautiful and harmonious. But boy, at the top of the list, you know what about God's word? It works. And some of us get sort of tired of doing stuff that doesn't work. You know, getting involved with a bunch of trips and, you know, other things that just don't lead anywhere. But God's word works, and it works in us effectually because we believe it. In Philippians chapter 2, you remember back the beginning of this camp. There's one thing to remember, and this is certainly something to reiterate as we conclude this camp. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh," where? "In you." It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works. His word works. And God works in you. See, as he works in you, and as you believe what he works in you, you then begin to provide that needed service to the body of Christ. You play your part. You function as that member in particular that God designed you to be. You know, God works, and how he works is diverse. He's not going to work the same way that he works in Patty as he works in Lee. But praise God that Patty and Lee both provide needed functions within the body of Christ. God works in us. It's undeniable. And then what verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and what? Disputings. The all things here in context is all things that God works in you. You know, if God works in you to go witness to somebody, you know what? Do it without murmurings and disputings. You know, complaining. Oh, I don't want to go talk to that guy. Well, you know, God works. He works in us. Do it without murmurings and disputing. Look at Mark chapter 16, and we'll close this 2008 family camp on the manifestations of Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 16, we had this before, but Jesus Christ, right before his ascension into heaven, he sent his followers into the world. In verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world. I guess that even includes Big Creek, California somehow. But it certainly includes all the place in which we reside, Paris, France, and, you know, Kernersville, North Carolina, and Redding, California, and Honolulu, Hawaii, and, you know, Woodbridge, Virginia, and all the different places that, you know, Norman, Oklahoma. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Everybody's needs to hear God's word. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he that believes not shall be damned or judged. Hey, as we go forth from this family camp and start sharing God's word, you know what? There's going to be some people that don't believe it. Is that a surprise? Well, don't be surprised when some people believe it. Because there's going to be basically two responses to God's word. Some believe, and when they believe, they get saved. Hallelujah. Eternal life. And there are people that don't believe it, and you know what? They're going to be judged. And then look what it says, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Hey, by the way, we just kind of left those that don't believe in the dust here. But it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out what? Devils. See, we've been learning about that. Discerning of spirits gives us information about the presence or non-presence of spirits, and if evil, whether we may cast them out. Well, in my name shall they cast out devils. That's the work Jesus Christ did that we can do also. It says, they shall speak with new tongues. This is a greater work, because Jesus Christ could not speak in tongues in his lifetime here upon earth, because it wasn't yet available. But speaking in tongues is one of the signs that follow the believing of God's word. And it says in verse 18, they shall take up serpents, or if they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That would be in the category of miraculous protection. And we read of some of that throughout the week. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall what? Recover. Gifts of healings. See, these are things that we can do because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every one of us to profit withal. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth. Jesus had said, go, they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working where? With them. See, the Lord working with them. God works with people that want to work with him. And this is talking about people that were obedient to the instructions that were given. Jesus Christ said, go, they went. Jesus Christ said, preach, they preached. And as they preached, some people believed, some people didn't, but signs, miracles, and wonders followed the believing of the word. So it says, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs, what? Following. See, this is a wonderful summary of the book of Acts, Mark 16:20. This is really a summary of what the church is to this day. We've been sent. We've been commissioned. Every one of us are sons of God. Every one of us have the gift of Holy Spirit. And every one of us have a ministry to carry that word forth. So go. Take this word that you've learned. Take God's word back into your communities, back into your fellowships, back into the jobs, back into the highways and byways of wherever you might go. And share that word. And as you share it, you know what? Some people aren't going to believe it. Don't be surprised. But some people are, and let's not be surprised when they do. And signs, miracles, and wonders follow the believing of God's word, because God works with the people that want to work with him. I believe that's why we're here, that God has brought us together in a wonderful week, a very special week, to learn about the power that he's given us in the Holy Spirit, so that we can carry this word forth and that we can walk with him, walk by that Spirit of God to bring deliverance to God's people. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful word that you've given us, for the power and beauty of that word, and also its great simplicity and clarity. Father, certainly only you could have given a word that describes life so completely and fully and gives us such clear direction so that we can have good results and be profited and be a help and service to other people. Father, as we've spent this week together enjoying your word, we pray that there will be many wonderful occasions to share it, many wonderful occasions and open doors to minister. Father, that we might listen more closely to you and follow your instructions more fully and more faithfully. And Father, we know from your word that you work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And what a thrill that is. So Father, we love you and we give you all the praise and glory for the week that we've spent together. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.